This would be my dream for this church also, is that people would walk in here and they would know that their wildest dream is possible with God. And there will be a community of believers, family, that go like, oh, is this your dream? Okay, we're going to make it happen. Liani, where's this hotel? We're going to go and pray and prayer march around this hotel because God wants this for you. And we gather together. There's a godly thing chasing your own dream. And it is godly. It's really godly. But even more godly is chasing somebody else's dream with them. Like, hey, what is your dream? I'm going to keep you accountable. I'm going to ask you about it. I'm going to see. I'm going to look for people that you can network with, maybe have done a similar thing, and I'm going to help you on this. Imagine you have a friend like that. Yeah. All of us want a friend like that. Let's be a friend like that. Amen. Cool. So I just want to maybe explain a little why, especially in this church, and why I really value praying in the Spirit. So if you look at Genesis chapter 11, there's a Tower of Babel. We know the story, Tower of Babel. So God looks down at people building a Tower of Babel. They said, hey, we're going to build this tower into heaven. We're going to be like God. And then God says, he looks down, chapter 11, verse 6, the New King James says, and he looked down and he saw their unity, and nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. This is God saying this. So this is an ungodly unity, and then God's looking down at him, and they're saying, hey, nothing that they propose to do, nothing that they set their minds on will be impossible for them. That's the power of unity. That's when we come in agreement, when Lihani stands up here and she shares a dream, and we're like, amen, sister. When can we go for that pedicure at the hotel? Why not? Okay, free pedicures for all of you sitting here. Remember this day. All the guys go, yeah. So that is the Old Testament. God's always into restoration. Now, move all the way through to the New Testament. Jesus died on the cross. He ascended. He tells his disciples to go wait in Jerusalem. And what happens in Acts 2? The Holy Spirit descends. And what happens when the Holy Spirit descends? People started praying in different tongues. So the ungodly unity, they were building this tower, and God said, I'm going to destroy the means of communication. I'm going to give them different languages. In the New Testament, God, he does exactly the same thing, but he gives them languages that unite them in the Spirit. So it was languages that people could understand, because Jerusalem was a cosmopolitan city with people from different nations. And then suddenly this guy would go, hey, that's my dialect. Hey, that is my language. Hey, that is mine. So God moves from, hey, where there was ungodly unity to where there is godly unity. And he says, hey, there's a unity thing that we as the church must understand. That's where we come from. That was the start of the church. The powerful stuff started happening after the Holy Spirit descended on the people. So when we in church, when we come together and we do something like we did tonight, we say, hey, Holy Spirit, we know that I feel so far away because I'm sitting on that side, and there's a person that's, I feel so far away from them, but I know that in the Spirit, we are one. Because in Jesus, there's one Jesus, and he's the only Jesus, and in him, we are united. So when we start praying in the Spirit or singing in the Spirit, that thing happens. That unity thing happens. So God is challenging also me, and I think us as a church, to start moving in a greater way, in a greater faith, in the gifts. In other words, somebody must walk in here and say, hey man, I think I'm speaking a different language. Walk up here, you take the mic, you speak in your tongue. Somebody comes, hey, Francois just came from Thailand. He says, hey, I've heard those words. That's how it's supposed to be. So there's even a greater measure of God's gifts that he wants to bestow on us as a congregation, but it will acquire faith. So we're starting with, hey, just praying in tongues, singing in tongues, because we know that there's a unity thing that's happening. We are united in the Spirit, but we even need to move to a greater measure. In the Azusa revival, that was in the beginning of the 1900s, there was a big outpouring where people started realizing that the gifts are still for today. They would go like, hey, you sound Chinese. They called it mission tongues. You're going to go to China. You sound Indian. You're going to go to India. So it's not only having a good experience, but there was so much purpose behind all of this. Okay, so I want you to just understand that, because we believe that we are ascending church. We're going to Sri Lanka and there's teams to other places. Rico is going to India. Where's Rico? They're at the back. Andy is from England. Sorry, Andy, the rugby yesterday. So, and there's so many going to Transkei. We're starting a music school in Transkei. Love it. Amazing stuff. So that's an introduction. So I'm going to, Jade, if you can just go to that photo or that painting. So I want you to go to that. We're almost there. Okay, there's a painting up there. It's going to come. That painting. I want you, if you can tell me exactly what this painting is all about, then you can get a chocolate for free there at the back and a massage at this Leonie's Hotel. Okay, discuss it with the person next to you, around you. What's happening? Explain this to me. It's a story in the Bible. Now, you're not allowed to put up your hand. You must discuss it with people. Okay, you can put on the lights again. Okay, great. Okay, there at the back. You were the loudest. Abigail. Yeah, you must tell us. Who is the man? Okay. Okay, great. Yeah, great. That is a really powerful interpretation. Yeria, I can't see your hand, sorry. Boosie, Keith, we're getting to you. It was? Okay, Mika, Blaine, what is happening there? What Bible story is this? No. Yeah, brilliant. Okay, did you get that? Okay, get your Bibles out. If you don't have a Bible, you can get a Bible at Thomas will hand you a Bible. Thomas and Johan. If you don't have a Bible, just raise your hand. Genesis 16, open your Bibles, Genesis 16. So we're going to look, so today is Father's Day, and we're going to look at a very special father. His name is Abram, and he's called the father of faith. Who of you know why he's called the father of faith? Yeah, that's all. Okay, great, so Keith, you can go and audition for the worship team afterwards. Great. Okay, so do you know that there are three major religions in the world that trace their ancestry back to Abram? It's Christianity, it's the Jews, and also the Muslims. We all know that Abram had a son with Sarah. What was his name? No, Isaac. And with Hagar, he had also a son with Hagar, and that was Ishmael. Okay, so let's read And I want to, we're going to look at fatherhood, all of you, and it's going to apply to mothers as well. So it's not only for the dads, but yes, it has a very specific application for the dads and the men in the house. If you're older than 13, you are a man. You're a man. Great. So here we go. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children." Okay, so this is important. Hear this, beginning of verse 2. So Sarai said to Abram, the woman is speaking to the man. Okay? It's important. "Please go into the maid," in other words, go and sleep with her. "Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. He was obedient to the voice of his wife. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to the husband, Abram, to be his wife, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Then Sarai said to Abram, "My wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace. And when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me." So Abram said to Sarai, "Indeed, your maid is in your hand, so do to her as you please." And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. So Sarai sends Hagar away. Now the angel of the Lord, say angel of the Lord, found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going?" She said, "I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarai." The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to yourself under her hand." Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are with child." So this is God confirming that she is pregnant, and the angel is speaking a blessing over this child that is Ishmael. So this is not Isaac, it is Ishmael. "And you shall bear a son. You shall call him his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction." Ishmael literally means God heard. That's what his name means. "He shall be a wild man," and this is where the curse comes in. "He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." So I'm just going to stop there for a while. Can you see what happens? So context of the story is there's a promise given by God to Abram in the early chapters of Genesis. And that promise is that there's a covenant between God and Abram, and his descendants will be a multitude. So now Sarai comes to Abram and's like, "Hey, I'm old. I don't have children. There's nothing that's going to happen with this promise if I don't have children. Why don't we devise a plan and we do it in the flesh, and you get a child, and I'll take this child as my own, and there the promise will be, God's promise will be on this child." So what's Abram doing? He's listening to another voice that's not God's voice, and I'm not specifically referring to a woman or to a wife. I'm just saying that he's not listening to God. He's not listening to God. And what happens? A son is conceived, and then Sarah, see, chases Hagar away for the first time. It's going to be a second time when we read that later. And then God's like, I don't like this. I don't like this. This is never my heart for a young boy to suffer. It's never my heart for people to suffer. And he speaks a blessing over this child. So Ishmael just, here's one of the things that I want you to get from tonight. It's going to be a couple of things, but it's one of the things. So Ishmael, if he is the ancestor of the Muslims, and there's a blessing on him, then we as Christians, knowing God, hearing God's voice, having the blessing of the Lord on us, we can call out that blessing from the Muslims. And the blessing, the biggest blessing, is in the name. It means God's hearing. What are the Muslims doing currently? What are they doing in Ramadan? They are praying, and they are praying to God. We can pray, hey God, interfere and get and answer those prayers. If you go and read just stories of people in the Middle East getting saved, what's happening? They are praying, and in the middle of the night, a lot of them would say, they, a man in white robes reveal himself to them as a son of God, and then they get saved. They don't even necessarily know who this man exactly is, but they know it's Jesus, the Savior of the world, blah, 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 and they get saved. So, first thing that I want you to take from this passage is there's a blessing on the Muslims, and we need to call it out. So if we look at the last bit of, so a lot of you are, and we are, and like secular culture makes us believe that we need to be afraid of Muslims, we need to be afraid of ISIS. Yes, they are doing terrible stuff, but as Christians we should never be afraid, we should always be loving, and we should pray for them, and we should pray that they get saved. We should pray that God interferes, that God hears, because that's their promise. Somebody said, Islam is not a problem, it is a promise. And we as Christians, we need to reveal that. So, just listen to this part, in verse 12. It says, he shall be a wild man, his hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. So what's happening here is, this guy, in the womb, he is rejected by his dad. What does the spirit of rejection do? It makes you feel that you don't belong anywhere. If you think of refugees, what religion are they from? Most of them. Muslims. They're not welcome in their own country, and they're not welcome in Europe, they're not welcome in America. Nobody wants them. They carry the spirit of rejection. And when you have the spirit of rejection, a lot of you are even struggling with this in this church because of what happens, what happened. Maybe in the womb even, maybe your parents didn't like you, maybe your parents said, hey, I'm going to walk out of this marriage with your mother, or your dad walked out of on you, and you're struggling with rejection. You're always going to feel, and this is the Lord revealing something in your life, and he wants to heal you of this. You'll always feel, I don't belong, people don't like me, I'm always against people, I'm never part of the group. You're always going to feel like this. So this is, if you look at the Muslims, if you look at Islam, this is what they carry. The spirit of rejection, but also a promise. Okay, let's go to Genesis 17, verse 18. So now Hagar responded. She's back with Abram. But Abram knows that he has done wrong. They have devised a plan, and it was an evil plan. It was not necessarily an evil plan, it was just a plan in the flesh. They had a promise, they had a prophecy, they had a word over their life, and they try to do it in the flesh. And then Abram's like, in verse 18, and Abram said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. So he's like, he knows, because Sarah at the moment, she conceived the baby, and he knows, hey, this is the child of the promise. He knows that. And now he's like, God, but I still love Ishmael because my son, it's my flesh, it's my DNA. I need to be a good father. So God, this is what I'm praying for Ishmael. Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, and this must be really hard words to any dad, no. Sarah, your wife, shall bear your son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. So God's saying, hey, you did it in your own way. I want you to do it in my way. And it's going to happen through Isaac. I want to fulfill my promise through Isaac. But hear also this. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Again, God heard. Behold, I have blessed him. Say, I have blessed him. And will make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly he shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. Okay, this is just, it's very interesting. So there's a blessing, even though it was in the flesh, and Abram is listening to his wife, he's sending his son away, there's still a blessing on the son. And some of you have been sent away by your dad, you've been rejected by your parents, there's still a blessing. And you can call that blessing. So let's look at, and we're going to look at how to do that, let's look at Genesis 21, from verse 8. This is where this picture comes from. So the child grew and was weaned. It's talking about Isaac. And Abram made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar and the Egyptian whom she had borne to Abram scoffing. He was laughing. He was mocking. Therefore she said to Abram, cast out this bondwoman. Some translations say this slave woman and his son. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing in Abram's sight because of his son. But God said to Abram, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. So God's saying, hey, Abram, I want to hear you, but you have done this thing in the flesh. I'm still going to bless Ishmael, but we need to go with this. This is the compromise that I'm making. You need to listen to your wife, and this child needs to be sent away with his wife. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman. Because, why? Because he is your seed. There's a blessing because he is an Abram's seed. So Abram rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. So if you look at this picture, it's actually, this guy was so prophetic painting this picture. So there's Abram, and he's sending Hagar away. You have Sarah there at the back, and you have the son Ishmael. And he's turning around. He's looking at who? He's looking at the son of the promise. And we are, if you are in Jesus, then you are a son of Abram. You are the seed of Abram. All the blessing that was spoken over Abram, you have also inherited in Jesus. So in a way, we are like Isaac. And what is he doing? He's holding out his cloak and he's saying, hey, you know what? You're going, this is between the parents. I like you. Here is my whatever dress, whatever clothing he's handing him. So if we go back and we look at, okay, so Ishmael, from Ishmael came the Muslims, the Islam, different, think people different than you. And God's challenging us, and he's saying, hey, we have the promise in Jesus, and we are called to hand and call out the promise in them. We are blessed because we have Jesus. They are not blessed because they were sent away and they don't have a father. What is the big problem with the Muslim religion is that they have a spirit of rejection. You know that there are 199 names that they use for Allah. There's one name that's missing. Father. They don't have a name. They don't have Father as a name for Allah. Why? Because Abram rejected Ishmael. And because Abram rejected Ishmael, they never know what a father looks like. They struggle with the spirit of rejection. Okay, so now we need to apply this because it's not all of you are going to work with Muslims. Maybe you know some Muslims, but this really the heart of the church, the heart of Jesus for the church is that we go like, hey, we're not afraid of ISIS. We're not afraid of different religions. We're not afraid of the Quran. We go like, hey, Jesus, you love them. You love my Muslim brother. I'm going to reveal to them the Father. That's what Jesus did. He said, hi, I'm here and I'm revealing the Father. So what should you pray for your Muslim brother? You're like, hey, Jesus, that guy that repairs my cell phone. I want you to hit him with the father love. Because they don't know the father. They don't know. Okay, so I want to quickly apply it so that leave that for now. I want to apply it to our lives. So God called us to be fathers of nations. All of you. Mothers and fathers of nations. And Abram, he's trying to do it in his own way. He's listening to the voice of his wife and he tries and do it in the flesh. And what happens? A curse comes upon our Ishmael and we are still suffering because of that. He listens to a voice that is not God. Then we see that Abram begets a son called Isaac. And what happens in Genesis 22, God speaks to him. He doesn't even confer with his wife. He just takes Abram up the mountain and he's willing to sacrifice, Isaac up the mountain. He's willing to sacrifice Isaac on the mountain. It's such a different picture. Yeah, he's listening to his wife's like, okay, just send Hagar away. Twice he's listening to his wife, just send Hagar away. And then in Genesis 22, he's like, it's almost like he has learned from his mistake. I'm not only going to listen to people. I'm not going to only listen to my wife. I'm not going to do something in the flesh. I'm going to follow the Spirit. I'm going to hear from God. I'm going to do this. And then in Genesis 22 verse 18, probably one of the most powerful promises that was spoken over Abram says the following: in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Why? Because you have obeyed my voice. Because you have obeyed a voice that is not God, there's a curse on Ishmael. But because you have obeyed my voice, there will be a blessing to all nations. It's amazing. And all of you have that potential in you. If you're going to hear from God, if you're going to be a father, because you have influence. If you have influence, you're a father. It doesn't matter if you're biological children or spiritual children. Or if you have influence, you're a father or a mother. And God's saying, hey, I have called you to bring that influence to me, to bring it into the kingdom. And then, because you obey my voice, because you hear my voice, I will bless your descendants and they will be a blessing to the nations. Imagine the person that you work with. So, maybe you, for instance, let's use an example. You're a hockey. You play for a hockey team, and you're a captain of this hockey team. And you're like, God, I want to be an Abram. I want to hear your voice, and I want my hockey team to be a blessing to the nations. So you say, God, you have given me authority over this team. I am the captain. So you go into your inner room. Yes, you practice hard, but you go into your inner room, and you say, God, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your voice. What is your voice? What are you saying? Oh God, okay, we need to do this. We need to do this. And because you have obeyed his voice, your descendants, your influence will become a blessing to the world. Then that maybe that guy on your hockey team, maybe he will play for the Springboks. Maybe he'll just be a great father. And he'll go, hey, and his son will go, hey, where did you learn all of this? Hey, I had a hockey captain that could hear God's voice. All of us, we're praying to the God of Abram, Isaac, Isaac, and Jacob. Why? Because Abram obeyed his voice. Imagine 10 generations down the line, like, hey, where did you get this from? Hey, we had a great, great grandmother, Boozy, and she prayed for us. She could hear God's voice. She could hear God's voice. Okay, so I want to encourage you with this. So we're going to take this scripture, Genesis 22, verse 18, and we're going to turn it into encouragement. You need to speak over yourself, and you speak over people around you. So one part of the sermon is, love the Muslims. They are not a problem. They have a promise. God wants to use you and use the church to bring them into the blessing of Abraham. When somebody is struggling around you, when you have a dad, when you have a mother, when you have a friend, when you have somebody that's maybe, when you have authority over, you do the following. Because you want to facilitate, you want to disciple them to become an Abram. Not to be an Ishmael. You don't want to stir something in the flesh, you want to do something in the spirit. You say the following to them. Say, for instance, you go to your dad, you say, "Dad, I can see that you're a good dad. Today is a great time to do this." Maybe you don't like your dad. Maybe you're really struggling in your relationship with your dad. But you humble yourself. You say, "You know what, Dad? God has made you the dad of this house. And therefore, you have authority. And I bless you. I bless you, Dad. And I'm praying for you that you can hear God's voice. And that God can speak to you. Because I know God does speak to you. Because you're the head of the home. God always speaks to authority. He always does." Maybe that's your dad. Then you have a friend. And this friend is going through a difficult time. Depression or whatever. Maybe he's a Christian. You go like, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to pray for you that you get a word from God. Maybe you can't do it on your own. Come into my room. Let's lock the door. Let's put on some worship music. And we hear from God." Like, "Jesus, I call out for my friend Jan, and we pray together." And that moment the revelation hits him, it will be a word from God, it will be something, and he will go like, boom. And you're like, "Okay, now you just obey, and you're going to be a father of the nations." Because so often we like, hey, we counsel people, and we tell them how to get out of this. But what God wants is for you to hear God's voice and to be an Abram that are blessed. Not only carries a blessing, but also carries a blessing to everyone around him. Okay, let's stand.